whole idea of land ownership came to North America from Europe. To the natives, it was an absurdity at best, and a sacrilege, an offense to the gods at worst. Owning the land? How do you own the land? Well, today, land ownership is at the center of a dispute between Native Americans and holders of the title to a 40-acre parcel of land with water rights, mineral rights, and a solid piece of American history.
We are suffering the same hardships they suffered. Starvation, hunger, inadequate shelter, inadequate warmth, same inclement type weather, the same harassment, surrounded by much more firepower than they had. The fact that they were forced to surrender and give up all their arms and then were massacred. See, we're not going to make that the same mistake.
That's the late Indian activist Russell Means 40 years ago this week. He died last year, but in 1973, he was one of the leaders of the American Indian movement who, with hundreds of militants, occupied Wounded Knee on the Pine Ridge Reservation for 71 days to protest federal Indian policy and repression of tribal peoples. After a shootout with the FBI and law enforcement, two Indians were killed and a U.S. Marshal was shot and seriously injured. The name Wounded Knee comes from another historic event. Russell Means referred to it there, a massacre in 1890, where the U.S. 7th Cavalry slaughtered 300 Lakota, mostly women and children, in the last battle of the so-called Indian Wars. The parcel of land that is the site of both of these events is for sale today. The asking price, $3.9 million. The man who holds title is named James Zawinski. He's not Lakota, and speaking to the BBC, he says a legal document trumps history.
They want me to give them the land, some that says I should sell it reasonable. They think they already own the Black Hills. They own the Wounded Knee Massacre site. Well, they don't. I have the deed to it. We're going to take the money and distribute it to the family, pay off some debts, and get on the right track of life.
Lakota tribe member Brendan Ekofi believes this is an opportunity, and the Lakota should find the money and get the title, whatever the price. With all this history, he says it's still a bargain.
There are a number of other memorial sites across the country, across the world, where people have created museums, who have created memorials that pay due justice to the people who died there. Not profiting from our history does a disservice to both our community and our ancestors, who I feel would like to see us a little better off than we are right now.
But the whole principle of paying money for land they believe was given to them by the gods smacks of swindling, even today. And American Indian Movement founder Clyde Bellancourt says any money the tribe has should be going to fight poverty, not to enriching a white landowner.
That's where that money should be meant, you know, not to fill the pockets of somebody that ripped them off for hundreds of years. And when little or nothing was left, when our people were dying of diseases that were foreign to us.
Stu Magnuson has reported extensively on Wounded Knee and the land dispute there. He's the author of The Death of Raymond Yellow Thunder and Wounded Knee 1973 Still Bleeding. He joins us from Arlington, Virginia. Stu, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me on, John.
So this land dispute really raises a lot of pretty deep narratives of history.
Yes, it does. I mean, we have a site that is basically a site of two major historical events, and both of them very emotional events. And so the sale of the land, of course, you know, brings up all sorts of emotional issues for the residents on Pine Ridge.
Do they want to own the land? Do they believe they already own the land? Is there a question of making it a memorial, a commemorative site, an interpretive site?
Yeah, well, there are a couple issues there. Well, first of all, if you look at Pine Ridge on the map, you'll see, wow, it looks really big. But they don't have control of a lot of the land. A lot of it fell into private hands over the last century or more with the Dawes Allocation Act in the 1800s, which basically attempted to turn the Indians into farmers, into the white image, and each family was allotted a piece of land. Well, once the head of the household died, it fell into the children's hands. It started to get so divided that, you know, no one had control over it. They could sell it then after a number of years. So many white ranchers and others bought the land and began to use it. So the Ogallala Lakota don't really get a lot of use out of the land. And the land in that part of the country is power and economic power. If you look around in the surrounding communities, how do most people make their living? Well, they make it from agriculture and animal husbandry.
So did this James Sawinski, who owns the land, did he buy it with the anticipation of being able to sell it for its value as history, or is he just a rancher holding land for agricultural purposes?
No, actually, it was held for a number of decades by the Gildersleeves, Clive and Agnes, and they were traders, white traders, except for Agnes, who was part Chippewa Indian or Ojibwe. And they were really well loved on the reservation, and but they became elderly after running it for 40 years. And they sold it to him in the late 60s, and his idea was to kind of turn it into a tourist attraction. And if you go through the Black Hills today, drive through, you'll see all sorts of what you maybe charitably call or accurately call tourist traps. Most of these have nothing to do with the history or natural beauty of the Black Hills. But he wanted to create a kind of a tourist attraction around the Wounded Knee Massacre in the late 60s. He didn't really get any of the tribal elders on board with this plan. He bought it from the Gildersleeves with that idea. And once that idea got out and it just did not take off, it failed. And then a couple years later, he was still owning the trading post when the occupation began. And the whole village was destroyed, including the trading post. So he was pretty much exited the reservation at that time and moved to Rapid City. And last year there was a major sale of a piece of sacred land in the Black Hills. The family that owned it was very good over the years about letting the Lakota perform their rituals there. Well, when they decided to sell it, the Lakota tribes banded together and got some private donations and bought it for $9 million. I think that's kind of what maybe brought his idea to sell this piece around.
Will that be the outcome, a donor, do you think?
Well, I mean, there's two ways of thinking. If a donor comes through and meets his price, which most people believe is exorbitant, then he does walk away with a very handsome profit. And a lot of people don't have very good feelings about him because of that issue in 1968. Or, you know, there are other things that could happen. We'll see. I think today is the deadline. He says he has buyers in the wings. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Stu Magnuson has reported extensively on Wounded Knee and the land dispute. He's the author of The Death of Raymond Yellow Thunder and Wounded Knee 1973, Still Bleeding. He joins us from Arlington, Virginia. Thanks so much, Stu.
Thanks for having me on.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.